The assigned lectionary gospel passage for this Sunday again comes from Luke, this from chapter 4. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread throughout the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. On the occasion of our annual congregational meeting today, I want to take this opportunity to talk about something not particularly controversial, at least not on the surface, mission statements. Whether for a business, a nonprofit organization, civic group, or church, a mission statement is important, or at least it can be. It can help identify and define who an organization is, their purpose and function, their reason for existence, and what it is they hope to accomplish. This is especially true as it pertains to providing guidance and making decisions about future priorities and direction. Now, you may be familiar with the mission statement used by the company you work for, or at some other organization with which you are involved. Well, here are a few local examples. Tulsa Public Schools. "We will provide quality learning experiences for every student, every day, without exception." Well, I've recently learned that they actually got this statement from our neighborhood school, Kendall Whittier Elementary School. Except they include no excuses. Kendall Whittier Incorporated primarily runs now the food pantry in the neighborhood, the educational grow garden, and the Tipton Community Garden. And they have a new mission statement. "It is a homegrown organization incorporating self-sufficiency for our neighbors through food security, nutritional health, and well-being." One more, also from the neighborhood. Kendall Whittier Main Street works to promote and restore Kendall Whittier as a thriving, walkable, and welcoming community for living and working. Well, I like all of these. Now let's look at how mission statements can apply to the church. Concerning the role of the church in the 21st century, the currently developing understanding is that the primary function of a congregation should be missionally focused, moving away from the institutional maintenance model. What this means is that as a congregation, we should focus more on being a mission outpost in our community and neighborhood rather than focus primarily on mere survival and just taking care of our own, as important as that is. Institutional maintenance, which is characterized by an inward focus as opposed to an outward focus, is an approach to church life that far too many mainline denomination congregations find themselves in today. And while most churches have a mission statement, chances are it's rarely emphasized or even known by any of its members. Or it's too broad and vague so that it doesn't really do much good in identifying the particulars of that congregation. That's why every year, during our annual session retreat, the ruling elders and I take a good close look at our College Hill mission statement to see how accurate, useful, and effective it has been and can be during the coming year. We choose to believe our mission statement is of much value. Therefore, we make sure it's printed in our worship bulletin each week, in our monthly e-newsletter, on our website, Facebook page, and elsewhere. And I put it on the cover of this morning's worship bulletin, and let's take a look at that now. The mission of College Hill Presbyterian Church is to build an inclusive community of faith, receive and openly share the love of God, and reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice. You know, action verbs are always an important clue to an organization's function, and ours include build, receive, share, and reach out. Each has a strong biblical base. And our mission statement includes 3 points of specific emphasis, which do indeed help define our identity of who we are and what we hope to be as a congregation. And they also help focus and give direction to our ministry efforts, those things which we believe God is calling us to be and do as a community of faith in this specific place and time. Now, I bring all this up today for a couple of reasons. First, it is crucial that we remind ourselves of our calling as a congregation. And also, today's assigned lectionary gospel reading includes Luke's declaration of what I think can be best understood as Jesus' mission statement. Luke states in chapter 4 that after Jesus is baptized and then spends 40 days being tempted in the wilderness, he returned to the region of Galilee and began to teach in their synagogues. It was during a visit to his hometown synagogue in Nazareth that Luke tells us that Jesus stood up and read from the Hebrew scroll of Isaiah. The passage that he chose to read was from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. God has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus then sits down and proclaims, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." With this brief story, Luke establishes his understanding of the basis for Jesus' entire ministry. Using a term I learned in seminary about how each one of us bring our own personal worldview and theological perspective to bear upon the scriptures, I am now convinced that the author of each of the four gospels brought his own overarching pre-understanding of Jesus' mission and ministry to bear upon what and how he wrote his gospel account. That's what I tried to convey last month during the season of Advent by exploring the unique and clearly different perspective that each of the four gospel writers revealed in their introduction of Jesus. Jesus' arrival, his advent. Luke's overarching pre-understanding of what he believes to be the core of the gospel message is defined in this passage of Jesus quoting the prophet Isaiah. He then uses this to inform every other part of his story. To understand Luke's Jesus, therefore, we must interpret his account in light of his perspective. So let's look at that briefly. We learn that Luke's overarching pre-understanding, and therefore the paramount drive of Jesus' mission and ministry, was for the liberation of the impoverished and oppressed. Making a very strong connection to each of us, biblical commentator Carol Lackey Hess makes the following important observation. Whatever we take to be the heart of the gospel will be the central shaping force in our life of faith. The author of Luke instructs readers to place this text as the central concern of Jesus' teaching. In today's passage, we learn what Jesus came to do. Insofar as we measure ourselves against this, we are following Jesus' ministry. The implications of this text is that if that we are going to study, interpret, and follow Luke's gospel, as we will throughout most of this year, we should keep coming back to this text to measure our work. In a nutshell, Luke's Jesus underscores salvation and good news in terms of acts of both divine and human compassion, mercy, empowerment, and social justice. Perhaps this is why the Gospel of Luke is the favorite of the four Gospels for many progressive social justice types. And here's the correlation to us. This congregation, much like Luke, generally tends to have a similar overarching pre-understanding of Jesus' mission and ministry, and therefore ours. That is why our mission statement centers around ministries of inclusion, compassion, and social justice. In other words, we believe the liberating work of the Spirit, working in and through this congregation, to be the core guiding principle for our mission and ministry. We, like Luke, believe that the Spirit of God called Jesus, and therefore us, to be an agent of mercy to the downtrodden in this world, to bring good news to the poor, release to those that feel life is holding them captive, sight to those who cannot see through the darkness, freedom for those who are oppressed by cultural norms or life circumstances, and the possibility of a new beginning for all who have stumbled or failed. And lest we forget, this applies to you and I as well. So a legitimate question arises. How do we measure ourselves and the life and ministry of this congregation through that overarching pre-understanding of our mission? Perhaps it's valid then to compare and contrast Luke's understanding of Jesus' mission to our own congregation's mission statement, budget, priorities, commitments, activities, and volunteer opportunities. Keep that in mind as we review our annual report in a few minutes after worship. Well, this is where we will pick up next week. We will continue Luke's story to look at the response to Jesus' mission statement. Spoiler alert, it isn't pretty. And we will look at the response to our own mission statement. And until then, I encourage you to reflect upon the following. What can you and I do each and every day, and what can we do together to build an inclusive community of faith? What can you and I do each and every day, and what can we do together to receive and openly share the love of God? And what can you and I do each and every day, and what can we do together to reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice? And for those of you who want extra credit, think about what you would include in a mission statement for your life. Amen.